better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Let's start out what Sam Pittman had to say about this season and control. Now, many people are wondering, is college football for the Arkansas Razorbacks going to resume on September the 5th? Will that be the first game this season? Sam Pittman's often asked this question on radio shows, through interviews, and whatnot. Here is how he answered on what they can control and what the players can control.
No, not really. I mean, we can only control what we can control in here in our SEC head coaches meetings. It's everything's going planned on schedule for September 5, and that's what we're preparing for. Obviously, there's a lot of different scenarios and things of that nature. But as of today, and I'm saying in the near future, we're looking forward to starting the season off September 5th.
Again, he continues to stress they're planning on playing September the 5th, and there's other audio clips that we'll play that says if something changes, we will change accordingly as well. And if you remember a couple weeks or a month or so ago, Hunter Yurecek got on with the Board of Trustees and said, we are planning on having a full college football season. We are planning on having full capacity in the stadiums. And that was taken by a number of different college football media as to say, this guy thinks that they're going to have it. Not that he didn't have any contingency plans. Not that he wasn't planning for what could happen, but college football media took that little soundbite, or really took it out of context and put it as Hunter Yurecek thinks that college football is going to go according to plan. Not that he's not planning, but when you take one word out or you take one little phrase out sometimes, it hurts the integrity of what someone is saying. And that's what happened with Hunter Yurecek. And then it seems like that's what some people were doing with Sam Pittman's comments yesterday.
And if you listen to everything that was said, and you watched the entire press conference yesterday on Zoom. I watched 75% of it with you. They're planning on this based on information that he's getting from the league office, based on what Greg Sankey is telling him, based on the information Greg Sankey's getting from other college commissioners, based on information that the league is getting from a lot of sources. So this isn't just Sam Pittman calling his own shots. This is Sam Pittman using the guidance that him and Hunter Yurecek are getting from the commissioner of the conference. I think it's really important to the league, and I think this is exactly what they're trying to do in every aspect of dealing with coronavirus, as do it as one. Do it whatever the conference does, all 14 schools are going to do the same thing. I really have that sense, because that's pretty much what they've done the whole way through, right? So everyone is acting in step with each other about preparing for the season, how they're handling players resuming. They had a window there. Everybody's starting to bring their players back a couple of weeks ago. Now they brought their others. So everything they've done in lockstep as a league. And I don't think preparing for a season or how they're talking about it is going to be any different. Yes, the numbers are on a rise. Yes, there's a surge. But we don't know what the numbers are going to look like, or the landscape of coronavirus is going to look like in 60 days from now. And that's what really matters, is are you going to be able in a month from now, 5 or 6 weeks from now, make a good decision about the season? Well, you can't make it today with the information you have today based on something that's going to happen 60 days.
And our job as media members, now Tommy nor I qualify as a journalist, so we don't have the same type of integrity or the same type of pizzazz that usually is associated with that job.
But wait a minute. Integrity? We're a tremendous slouch, Judge, so don't sell us short.
We do our best to just go on and tell you what we think, and then as if we hear sound bites from Sam Pittman, Hunter Yurecek, whatever player and stuff, we try and at least put those into context the best we can. And it seems like at this point in time, it's almost like whether it's college football media members, college basketball and stuff, I get it, this is unprecedented times. We've never experienced like this anything, at least I haven't in my lifetime as far as the coronavirus goes, but it seems like some media members are hell-bent on not having a season. And I just don't understand that, because many of their livelihoods depend on that, depend on college football. If Arkansas doesn't have football this season, you're going to see staff changes at a number of different publications, a number of different radio stations, particularly sports in this state. It's not only going to affect the sports industry, it's going to affect the media industry, and on and on and on. So it doesn't make sense to Tommy, doesn't make sense to me, when you have people trying to like orchestrate in a sense that, hey, this season is just not going to happen, especially if they're in the realms of media. I don't know if they just like want to lose their job or what the deal is, but it almost seems like the majority of media members don't think that college football is going to happen this year. Sam Pittman touched on that. It's not making a lot of sense to him. It's like, it seems like the media almost doesn't want to have this season.
Well, I think the media thinks we're not going to have a season more than we do, you know, and so there hadn't been 1 ounce of conversation between myself and our team about not having a season. So it's not hard to motivate them about not having a season, because we all believe we're going to. If it changes, we'll adjust. We're preparing for September 5, and that's what we believe is going to happen. If it doesn't, we'll just have to figure out what our next step is. But it hadn't been hard, because we don't talk about it.
We're doing these daily countdowns that you hear on ESPN 95.3 and other places as well. We're at 66 days out from Arkansas football right now. Tommy, myself, Phil Jenkins, Matty T, we are planning on having a college football season. We continuously talk about the season that lies ahead. We will adjust if it doesn't happen.
Right.
I don't think that we're not, I'm going to say I'm double negative there. Don't want Clay to get mad at me. I am under the impression that we are going to have a college football season. But like you just heard from Sam Pittman, like you'll hear from Tommy, we will adjust accordingly based on what happens. But at this moment in time, on July 1st, 2020, I expect there to be some resemblance of college football in 2020.
Let me tell you how I'm running this business, how I'm approaching it. I am planning on a college football season. I'm not convinced we'll have a full and complete 12-game college football season. Now, there's a difference there, right? I'm planning for something, but I'm not convinced it's all the way going to happen. I'd rather be prepared and plan for it and it not happen than it happened and I'm not prepared for it. And I think that's kind of where Sam Pittman's at. I'm managing what we have going on here, business-wise, content-wise, digital-wise, all these, as if we're going to have a season. The same thing Sam Pittman, he's planning and preparing. If things change, we'll adjust, just like we will. I'm not convinced. Now, that just because you're planning and prepared doesn't mean you think it's absolutely going to happen and you're going to be hell-bent and, by God, we're going to force the square peg into the round hole. But as of today, the best information we have on July the 1st is prepare and move forward. That's exactly what I hear Sam saying there. All of his information, which he gets a little higher level of information than the rest of us, says prepare and move forward. If we need to adjust in 2 weeks or 2 days, we'll do that. I think that's the way, to me, that just seems like the most responsible, prudent approach.
You mean the head coach is making logical assumptions about what should occur? Man,
I've talked to a lot
like
of...
It's almost like he's prepared for that job.
As I've just talked to other people in this business and this industry that we're trying to navigate right now of sports media here in Arkansas, that to me seems like the approach that some are taking and others aren't, but you prepare and you visit with your advertisers and you prepare your content as though it's going to happen. That doesn't mean, I don't think either one of us, I'm not going to speak for you, I'm not convinced 1,000% we're going to have a full college football season.
I'll reside in that category with you.
I'm preparing for one. I'm not convinced there's going to be one. Those are two different things. But you've still got to get ready for football. What if Sam Pittman just said, hell, we're not going to practice. We're not going to lift weights. We're not going to meet as a team right now because we don't think there's a possibility we won't play. So why put in all the work? And then there's a vaccine in 3 weeks, which I'm not convinced that's going to happen either. And we have a college football season. Now what are you going to do? You know, that's why I think this league is acting in lockstep with each other. He's got information we don't have. And I think, again, it's July the 1st. It's not September the 1st. Let's keep everything in perspective.
What's the parable in the Bible talking about preparing for rain? It was like there's two different gardeners or different farm owners, and one of them like gets his field ready for rain to come, and the other one just doesn't think it's going to happen, and then one reaps the reward, and the other, I'm probably butchering the crap out of that.
I'm not sure. I should know my Bible parables better than this, but my grandmother would not be proud right now.
But the connection I'm trying to make is that like we're preparing for college football, and hopefully we'll reap a reward if and when that happens. For those who aren't prepared for it or are planning on doomsday occurring, you're not going to reap the reward. I'm trying to blend in the Bible, and I just butchered the crap out of that.
I think you're referring to the parable of the sower.
I think that's it. Yeah. So
the guy that went to college in a dry county bails you out. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what he usually does. But like usually, like when you look at just as far as like media members and stuff, whether nationally, whether here locally, depending on what publication you enjoy, whether you like listening to it on the radio, watching it on TV, reading about it in newspaper or online, it's just a dilemma that a lot of people are facing right now. Just how they go about getting their business and the context, especially when it comes to sports and stuff. Well, here's what Sam Pittman had to say about media members. And like so many people, again, flock to what media members are saying. But like Tommy mentioned earlier, I think Sam Pittman has a little higher degree of information than we do. I wish that wasn't the case. I wish I was just as informed as he was. But he gets calls with Greg Sankey, the other coaches, the networks and stuff. So he has a lot more insight than we do. It's like it's the old when you like, what's the phrase? I'm thinking about movies and stuff. Tommy, what's when he's like first class, no, highest clearance? What's the? I'm blanking.
Classified.
Yeah, classified information. That's the word I'm looking for. So right. I like you remember Tom Cruise in Top Gun, and he was and his instructor. He was like, "That's classified, man." Yeah. It's like, and she goes, "The Pentagon sees to it that I know more than you."
Yeah.
Well, in this situation, the Pentagon sees that Sam Pittman knows more than we do, and I'm trying to again make a connection.
No, I think that's not a bad analogy.
That's the best you can come up with on the dot.
That's a pretty good one there.
But here's what Sam Pittman had to say about the media and its importance when it comes to college football.
It's also it can make your team and it can break your team if you pay a lot of attention to it. We're going off of facts of what we know. And I'm in a head coach's meeting every Thursday morning at 7:30. And I'm going off of facts from the SEC commissioner. And so all speculation, I mean, we could speculate for a month. And some of us be right, a lot of us be wrong. I'm just going off the facts of what the SEC commissioner is telling us. And we're going as planned to have a season September 5th. And I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how you can possibly prepare a team if you look at it any other way than that.
So many of you watch the news, whether it's Fox, whether it's MSNBC, whether it's CNN, whatever news outlet you choose to watch, it seems like that the more you consume when it comes to coronavirus, your fears are elevated, right? They're not, they don't slow down or anything, because when you watch stuff, when you watch and you listen to things about the pandemic, Tommy, it seems like that it's elevated stuff. It doesn't calm you at all. Is that a fair assessment?
I think the news does not bring you peace and comfort.
Yes, I think that's the best way to put it. Regardless of the intent of what's happening, that's, I think, the biggest, like, not outlier, but that's what the most likely outcome when you're watching that. Again, regardless of the intent of the different anchors or the reporters or stuff, I think that more people are getting more and more worried when they watch the news and stuff. And again, with Sam Pittman and stuff, they're trying not to pay attention. This isn't just applicable when it comes to the coronavirus, but when you hear and you read different articles about the upcoming season and, oh, this team's not going to be any good, this team's not going to amount to anything and stuff, you can use certain things as motivation, but often college football coaches tell their players to stay off message boards. They tell their players not to listen to sports radio shows. They tell their players not to watch the TV, because sometimes there is negativity that's passed around about a certain college football team. And the coaches don't want that to impact the players to a degree that's going to affect them in a negative way for the upcoming season. And so he's probably cautioned or urged them, hey, try to stay away from watching some of this stuff because it's more negative based, I think. I think it's more negative slanted based on what could occur during this college football season or not occur at all. So if I was Sam Pittman, I would caution my player not to watch the news, but just it's a difficult time right now, because it seems like the more you watch, the more negative your ideals and stuff become when it comes to not only just college football, but what's going on in the world right now, because of everything involved with coronavirus.
Yeah, and again, I just go back to what he's talking about there, planning for a season. I mean, doesn't mean that the season's going to happen. Who listening this morning doesn't want the season to happen, right? I mean, we're all rooting for this to find a way, because if sports can happen, so many other things in life can happen. So many of our fears go away. And again, the weird thing about this challenge in our society right now, whether it's a terrorist attack or whether it's something else that's happened in our country, sports has kind of been the way we heal and the thing we turn our minds to get away and escape the current problem of the day. This has been, at least in my lifetime, a very unusual circumstance where sports has been halted. We've never seen anything like this. Sports after 9/11 is what helped bring the country back together. It wasn't the only thing, but it was one of those things. It was one of those moments we could stand together and be behind one thing, be unified, was our love of sports in this country. That's been the difficult part of dealing with this pandemic, is we hadn't been able to turn to the world of sports as we normally do.
And you mentioned 9/11. I think one of the more pivotal moments involving sports is George W. Bush throwing that pitch out at Yankee Stadium, yep, during the World Series. And New York predominantly does not like George W. Bush. That's like not a state that would say it would side necessarily with the Republican president. But at the time, you didn't hear any boos. He threw a pitch right down the pipe, and there was just this just echo of screaming and joy just to see that. And again, what sports has done over the years, whether it's racial tensions, whether it's political tensions, whether it's just human intentions, it brings us together more than it divides us. I would say that's a fair characteristic and a fair statement with sports over the years. I think sports has been one of the biggest integral pieces of this country when it comes to bringing people together rather than tearing us apart. And if this college football season wasn't to happen, if the NFL season was to happen, I would think that would hurt a lot of elements within the United States, not just the United States, if this was to occur in other places. Because I think, again, sports does a great job of blending a bunch of different cultures, a bunch of different political opinions, religious opinions. I mean, you're just a sports fan. If you like the Arkansas Razorbacks and you see an Arkansas Razorback fan, whether you disagree with them politically, religiously, on certain social issues or whatever, you don't see that. You just see another Arkansas fan that you like to watch a game with, drink a beer with, eat some pizza with. It doesn't matter. That's what people look at when it comes to sports. And Tommy mentioned all of you listening right now want a college football season, and he's exactly right. And one of those reasons you want to see college football this year is to see what Arkansas can do under Sam Pittman. One of the players you're excited to see is Rakeem Boyd. You're excited to see him back for senior year. Many were surprised to see him come back. Here's what Sam Pittman has had to say about his star running back.
I do know this, that we're really happy he came back. He has great leadership skills. He's motivated. I love him. I'm very, very excited to see him perform this year, and I'm very happy as Arkansas Razorback. And he's working extremely hard, and obviously he knows what this senior season holds for him and for the football team. And the better he is, the better our football team's going to be as well, and the people around him. So I've been really, really excited about him, and I think he's going to have a heck of a football season.
I think a lot of people are in that camp with Rakeem Boyd doing what he's able to do, over 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns this past season behind an offensive line that many people think is going to get a lot better this year. You would expect, especially under Kendall Briles, who has a track record of good running backs, that Rakeem Boyd could have a very successful senior season and try to get drafted a lot higher than he was initially put in the NFL draft. And that's one of the reasons he came back, wanted to improve his pass blocking, wanted to improve catching out of the backfield, just wanted to get more money when going off to the NFL. And I think in Kendall Briles' offense, he's going to be able to do that.
And just listening to Monteric Brown and Rakeem Boyd yesterday, just Sam Pittman's arrival, that listening to other players on the team, this was the gist I got from just listening to them talk when asked about Sam Pittman, that particularly for Rakeem Boyd, there was no question about whether he wanted to come back to him, because he knew what he was getting into. He knew what Coach Pittman was going to be about. So He was very complimentary of the progress the offensive line is going to make. And I understand he's on a press conference representing his school, speaking right after his coach. He's not going to go negative, you know, huh?
Yeah, no.
I get that the context of the setting, but he went out of his way, I think, to make some statements about his confidence in his coaches and you know, the confidence of his players. I saw body language and I heard things and phrases said yesterday from players that we did not hear the last 2 years. And yes, there's some coach speak, there's some coached up talk there. I get that. But those are some things we didn't hear as much of the last couple of years. Would you agree with that?
I'm hesitant to say that because I think that the same things were said about you just don't hear players openly talk.
He went out of his way to compliment his coach. I didn't hear that much of that yesterday. Maybe I'm just looking at it wrong. Maybe I don't have the full context, but that's what I heard yesterday.
I just take any time a player says anything positive about his coach, I always take it with a grain of salt because, like you said, who did he just fall in the press conference?
Yeah, I mean,
his coach,
Sam Pittman just spoke. I get that. And this is the guy that can make me run a whole lot. You know, yeah. This is the guy that can give me a lot of extra work.
So. I want to believe that's correct. I take that stuff with a grain of salt.
I'm with you. I'm just saying that even with the grain of salt, we didn't see an abundance of that. And this is one press conference. I'm not getting carried away. I'm just saying it was pretty obvious that there was some affection and passion for their coach. I didn't get that vibe trying to read between the lines with Chad Morris. Now, maybe it's more clear today than it was in the heat of the moment, but it seems like these guys are all in for their coach.
And we'll continue to hear what Rakeem Boyd and Monteric Brown had to say about Sam Pittman in the upcoming season. But one of the things that's been a question mark for this football team, and not only this football team, but other football teams, is how are you going to get these guys to stay on social? I think I'm making a true statement by saying I don't think I've been to a bar since this whole coronavirus thing started. I believe I'm correct.
They've been closed.
So, well, they've opened back up. So I believe I'm correct in saying that. So if I can do it, I think that, and again, some of the players are more social than I am, I think the players can do it. Here's what Sam Pittman had to say about his young guys not being social and how they're going about doing that.
If they want to have a football season, it's realistic to ask them to stay away from people. But they're young. I mean, they like to, just like we do, we like to be around people and things of that nature. Tell you what's happened. We have gotten better and better at social distancing as we continue to go through these weeks. The education has worked. But to sit here and say 4th of July, I mean, come on. You're either going to say we trust you to be as social distancing as you can, or you're going to say you can't go anywhere, including any place out of your apartment. I mean, you can't do that. And so we choose to trust and believe in our team and that they're grown men, because otherwise, I think that's the way you should do, and B, it'd wear you out. It'd wear you totally out if you were worried whether they had their mask on at a restaurant or not.
I'll give you a perfect example, Tommy, that should resonate with you. You should be happy with this answer. I got invited to go on a party bus this weekend, but I'm not doing that because I think that's very stupid. I will not. I swear I am not going on that. But
peer pressure will mount.
I will not go on that. I'm trying. Listen, give me some credit.
I've got an 18-inch swab to stick up your nose the minute you. And I stick it somewhere else first.
Peer pressure also got him back to working out again, or getting his what he called his belly back to a six pack.
Yeah. So, but I will not be partaking in that adventure that my buddies are going this weekend. Okay.
But you're gonna be hanging around the people that do.
No, I'm not doing that. It's a different group. So,
all right. Hey, we're about to
give me some credit. I'm trying to lay that out.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Again, back to our question, which new coach in the SEC between Drinkwitz, Pittman, Kiffin, and Leach, which one of them stays the longest and which one of them leaves? Now, they could leave by getting fired. They could leave for another job. There's a bunch of different scenarios that could play out. But, Clay, I'll let you go first. Tommy, you can go second and go and I'll go third. And we'll start with which coach you think is going to be there in the shortest amount of time. Clay, take it away.
I think it's Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Shortest. Yeah. I just don't think that his track record shows that he's a stay-forever guy. And that there'll be something that happened, whether good or bad. It could be good. He might win. If he wins, all he's got to do is beat Alabama, and then Nick Saban will retire, and he'll be the Alabama coach.
The longest he's been ever anywhere is 4 years, guys. That was at USC. He was there from 2010 through 2013. So 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013. That's the longest he's ever been, is 4 years. And you look at where he's been lately, he spent 3 years at Florida Atlantic, 3 years at Alabama. I'd have to think about it a little more, but I'd probably be in agreement with you on that as well. Tommy, which way are you going?
The answer I was going to give was Lane Kiffin as well, mainly because he's either going to get in a lot of trouble, get Ole Miss back into NCAA problems, which hasn't been his track record, but they seem to not be able to avoid certain things with their last few hires. And I just think, along the lines of what Clay was saying, if he has great success and great success at Alabama or at Ole Miss is beating Alabama, he'll have an opportunity elsewhere in this league. Let's just face it, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, those aren't the top-tier schools in this league. You do well, one of the top-tier schools in this league or another Power 5 conference will come calling. I think Lane Kiffin is probably the first to go out of that group of four.
Matt Luke got 3 years. Hugh Freeze would have gotten longer if not for some of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes. Houston Nutt got 4 years. Ed Orgeron got 3 years or 2.5 years, whatever it was. So they've had a different number of coaches. It's not like they've
Of them have stayed more than 4 years.
Yeah, so it's not like they've had a ton. Guys, I'm going to also agree with you and Lane Kiffin. I was thinking about going Mike Leach, but I think that Leach has stayed in Pullman and State of Texas. He was forced out of Lubbock, basically. Pullman, I was kind of surprised to see him leave Washington State, but I think that Lane Kiffin, like you guys, he just wears out his welcome. He'll win you some games. He has that cocky, brash ego about him that you love as long as he's winning, and you love as a fan. You hate him if you're an opposing fan or opposing player or opposing coach, but I think he's going to wear out his welcome in Oxford. I'm not 100% sold. What's weird about that, guys, is a lot of Ole Miss fans were ticked off that Sam Pittman ended up having a better recruiting class than Ole Miss. And they're like, how is this guy doing? What Lane Kiffin is supposed to be this just hellacious recruiter, especially on the offensive side of the football. And so far, Ole Miss fans have not been as impressed as they thought they were going to be when he took the job. So I'm going to agree with you guys as well. I know that's not a lot of disparity between our answers, but I think Lane Kiffin is going to be that guy. So that brings us to...
I think Sam's always been a better recruiter than Lane Kiffin. I mean, I think that Sam's track record, he's the number one offensive line recruiter in the country. So if they're surprised that he's doing well, then they haven't paid attention to what Sam Pittman is.
Well, I think it's more the surprise, like Pittman, not on the offensive line side of things, but Lane Kiffin is known as a really good recruiter on the offensive side of the football. And so not to say that not... It's not really a disparaging comment against Sam Pittman, but more of one towards Lane Kiffin, as in, why is it this guy who's supposed to be just this incredible recruiter of football players, why isn't he living up to...
Yep. So, I would agree with that, but the key is you have to look at, okay, where was he doing that? What stops? Where was he having recruiting success? Well, it was at schools better than Ole Miss, right?
Alabama,
Southern Cal,
USC, yeah.
Yeah, Tennessee. He wasn't at Tennessee long enough to really have a track record there, but I think he did have one good class. But it's, Tennessee still at that particular time was better than Ole Miss is right now. Ole Miss is, they've got some NCAA sanctions that are still pending. I don't think maybe they're done with all their visits list and different things that they can't do, and evaluations, maybe they're done with that, but it's still, there's some taint to Ole Miss with what they went through.
So the next question, back to the point of which coach stays the longest, which coach stays the shortest, is the longest. And I think we're probably going to have the same answer on this as far as which coach takes the longest. Tommy, I'll let you go first this time.
Well,
which one's the longest?
It's tempting to say Sam Pittman because I don't think Arkansas is in a position to turn the head coaching spot over. But you got to ask yourself, who could last the longer in that same conversation? Is Missouri in any better a position to be having additional turnover? And who do you think is going to have the most success? I think Arkansas has the steepest uphill climb to get back to some level of respectability, and I call that 8 wins or so, a 7.5, 8.5 wins on average over a 3-year period. I think Arkansas's got the steepest climb to that. So I think other coaches would have success, maybe other opportunity. The tempting thing is to say Sam will be here longer than any of those other coaches. You look at where Leach is at in his career and the length of time, it's similar to Sam's. I think maybe it's Eli Drinkwitz that stays the longest at Missouri simply because he's in the East, can win more games, maybe not win enough games to have a bigger and better opportunity outside the league. So just to probably think that through a little more about who's playing who, schedules, win opportunities, I'm going to say Drinkwitz stays longer than any of them at Missouri.
Clay, you're next. What are you thinking?
Well, here's the thing about Sam. If he doesn't do well, and I don't know exactly what you're referring to, Tommy, but the buyout is set up where it's not that expensive for Sam, for Arkansas to release him. You know, it's all built around wins and losses. Mm-hmm. So he took the kind of contract that an assistant coach had never been a head coach would take. And, you know, there was, you know, a different vibe to that contract. But having said that, I think he's going to be successful, and I think it's you know, that you're going to see that contract revised at some point. You know, the Drinkwitz thing, if he does well, he won't stay at Missouri. That's not his dream job. That's not where he grew up wanting to coach. In, you know, someplace like Florida State, Florida State might come open pretty quickly if Norvell's unsuccessful. A place like Miami might come open again. You know, those might be dream destinations for somebody that grew up in the western part of Arkansas. I mean, those might be pretty cool spots to go to. He clearly wasn't that interested in Arkansas, so that's not a dream job. I think really the odd man out in all this is Leach. I can't tell you what that guy thinks. What is in his mind? In besides goofiness, so how can you say from one day to the next what he's going to do?
Clay, which of those coaches would you most like to go fishing with? Would it be Leach? Because it'd be such random conversation.
Well, so it might be. You know, I don't know. Sam Pittman would be the guy that I'd probably want to hang out with the most because he's the most down-to-earth, level-headed, solid individual. And that's the kind of people that I want to be around with. It's not somebody that's goofy or off the wall, you know, or whatever, you know, that's full of himself. Now, you want to talk about a guy that's full of himself? Mike Leach is all about Mike Leach. And I don't think Sam Pittman's that way. Now, I don't know Eli enough to say. I do know that I do not want to hang out with Lane Kiffin. I mean, I think that it would be – he would be bored with fishing, and he'd be looking where – you know, what's that song, Where Are All the Single Women? I mean, that's what Mike Leach would be doing. And I wouldn't want to be her. Yeah. Yeah. So am I right? Is that him? I think it is. The kind of people I want to fish with are people that want to fish. And instead of just sitting around talking about themselves. But I guess, you know, at some point you've got to go to dinner and, you know, maybe Leach would be fun at dinner. I don't know.
Yeah, those the single lady, the Joey Freshwater stories, Lane Kiffin. I think those days are over with. But the aliens.
Why do you say that? Why do you say you think those days are over with?
I've just read stuff that it seems like the
that's bullcrap. That was somebody. That was his agent that hired a writer to write all that stuff. there is no evidence that all that stuff is over.
Well, you're just basically going after someone's character at this point, like that, right? I mean, like you or I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm just saying what he has been, right?
Yeah, but you know, listen, I'm with you on most camps. That sometimes people just don't change. I'm fair, but listen. He's had his transgressions in the past. He's divorced, and for what seems like good reason why that relationship ended. But I mean, I don't think it's fair to just assume that this guy's the exact same person. I mean, if that was the case, then wouldn't it be the same way for anyone else? Like, we couldn't assume that anyone's going to change, right?
Okay. You go there, I'll go where I'm, you know, I'm going to see a longer track record.
Okay.
And, you know, 1 year, I'm not buying it yet. Maybe he is. I hope he is.
He's on a new job.
For everybody's sake. Yeah.
You're always on your best behavior at the beginning of a relationship, right? That's when you're on your best behavior at work, your best behavior with your new girlfriend that you're dating, your best behavior, you know, when you go see the new girlfriend's parents for the first time. Every time you enter a new relationship, you're on your best behavior, right? For a while, till you let your guard down, you let them really see who you really are. You know, when you're in a new golf group for the first time, you don't whirly bird the 5-iron down the fairway, you know, on hole number 3 the first time you're playing with a new group of guys. You're on your best behavior. It's Lane Kiffin's in a new relationship with Ole Miss. He's on his best behavior.
Whirly bird means throw it.
It means, yeah, you just.
Okay.
It goes down.
It's the old saying, you know, you take a zebra and you paint them, and first time it rains, they're back to being a zebra again.
Okay. All right. It'd be hard for any of us to project what's going to happen for any of the coaches, but. And I feel it's like, is it a cop out answer to say Sam Pittman? Is that me just wanting that to happen? Because I think majority of us think if he's the longest tenured, that means he's probably going to have the most success.
I'm not so sure Sam isn't the right answer, but it just seemed like the easy, low hanging fruit answer. So I didn't want to go there just because it seemed like you're placating to the audience. And I think you can make a case for another coach in this conversation.
And yeah, and we got to be respectful that it is not going to be easy at Arkansas. He's got a hard job. And just because he might be the guy for the job doesn't mean that it's all going to happen. You know, there's a lot of – so far, so good. And we got a strange year coming, so who knows exactly how this season is going to play out. I mean, I'm excited that it looks like it. You know, we might have football. But, you know, by the other – deal is we still have to see Kendall Briles and Barry Odom figure out their talent and get the right guys in the right spots and coach them up. Yeah. You know, that's the mission right now.
Hey, we're starting July, and now's the perfect time to build that backyard oasis of your dreams at Burton Pools and Spas. Semi-in-ground pools start at $9,997 right now. If you want a hot tub so you can look like Eddie and Paul Eels the other night on that deal, you can get you a hot tub and you can do a coach's show of your own. You can do your virtual coach's show in your backyard. Hot tubs start at $26.95. They got lots of luxury models to choose from as well. I love my Big Green Egg. They've got everything Big Green Egg you want right now at Burton's and outdoor living furniture. If you need some new patio furniture, they've got great stuff to choose from at Burton Pools and Spas. Stop in Springdale and in Fort Smith. You can look online at burtonpools.com. Burton Pools and Spas is your source for backyard fun.
Clay, you probably have more insight on this than I do, but in Hot Springs, has Coach Pittman, has he started building that house? Is the lot still there? Like, what are the details on his lake house, if you know anything?
I don't know if they've started building on it. I've heard that, you know, they may be close, but as far as, you know, have they poured the slab? I couldn't tell you that, but I do know that he's going forward with the plans to build a house in Hot Springs on the lake.
So I bring that up, and he's been pretty outspoken and adamant about that him and Jamie want to retire here. And I don't know how many years he wants to coach and be the head coach of Arkansas football, but I don't know if another coach, whether it's Drink, whether it's Leach, whether it's Kiffin, have come out and say, I'm going to retire in Oxford. I'm going to retire in Starkville. I'm going to retire in, what's the other one? In Columbia, or it's somewhere in Missouri, somewhere in Mississippi. I think Sam Pittman has really been the one that's been outspoken about that particular narrative. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the one point example, you could say that this is why he's going to have more success than the other coaches. But I do think it's important when you're comparing the measures between the couple of coaches that it seems like that one wants to be at his spot more than any other one. And I,
I'll give you a perfect example of somebody that obviously did not. Chad Morris, when he was head coach at Arkansas, and this was both of these were pre-bought before he was head coach, but he had a place in Aspen, and he had a place, or at least not, you know, close to Aspen in that area, mm-hmm. near the Taylor River, because you know, his wife explained to me where she is, where they like to go, and then they had a condo on the beach in Florida, so they had places like that, and I think SEC coaches have second homes. They can afford them, and they, you know, it's pretty common now. Tell you, J.B. Grimes, who was offensive line coach at Auburn, he built a place on DeGray Lake, so he retired to Arkansas. So there's someone that, you know, early on his time in Arkansas said, I'm coming back here. You know, he was an offensive line coach at Arkansas years ago. So Arkansas is a pretty dang good place to retire. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, all you have to do is look around at the coronavirus and you understand that there's less cases in Arkansas. You know, I know there's outliers and there's hot spots, but I'm in a county where they've got four active cases. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good place to be, and it's a good place to have a, if it's not a primary residence, a good place to have a second home, right, Tommy?
Absolutely. And I think the beauty in the part of the state that you live in now, and I visit a lot, and the Hot Springs area, you know, Arkansas gets this bad rap nationally, but till you get here and then you see Lake Ouachita, you see Bull Shoals, you see the White River, you see the Ozark Mountains.
That's Arkansas.
I think DeGray is a beautiful place,
too. That's Arkansas' way of giving a double bird to anyone that hasn't actually been inside the state. I
mean, Arkansas geographically might be one of the most diverse states that we have just in our country, just because you think about the Delta to the mountains in northwest Arkansas. You just think about, you know, everything from each corner of our state. It's drastically different in some cases. You go from rice paddies and rice crops to beautiful mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's northeast Arkansas is one of the big rice producers in our state. We just got a lot of diversity as far as the natural beauty and the scenery in our state. I mean, you just drive from Bentonville going to the beach and go to Florida and drive all the way down and go through the Delta, and you just see a vastly different landscape that's offered in our state. And you got a lot of options here, from great duck hunting to great fishing, and that's why people want to retire here. You got so many great things to do.
And I think when, especially my generation, the upcoming generations, it's trendy to move to New York. It's trendy to move to Nashville. It's trendy to move to Dallas. It's trendy to move to Austin. But, Clay, you brought up a good point as far as the compactness of the amount of people that you're in. And then even in the big cities in Arkansas, it's not to the severity as others. And hopefully we'll never have another pandemic like this. But I think what this has caused people to realize and think about is you don't always want to be in the big city. You don't always want to be in the biggest hotspot in the United States. And I don't mean that directed towards the pandemic. I'm just talking about a place that many people want to live in and the amount of people in a certain area. So I think this has definitely caused people to kind of rethink where they want to live is moving forward. And then, like you guys were saying, I mean, I love, like, the lake to me. I was literally, the whole weekend, I was with my dad. The majority of the weekend, I don't know if I got it in his head, but I think they're definitely thinking about retiring on the lake now. Like, that was the whole, I spent the entire weekend being like,
so you can
Beaver,
visit more.
Hot Spring. Yeah, I was like, look, think about the grandkids.
You're not worried at all about his enjoyment of his retirement years. You're worried about where you can visit on the weekend.
It's a combination. He loves the lake. He wants to slalom ski after he turns 60, so it's the best of both worlds conversation. Eventually.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
I'm
thank
not
going
to argue against that.
Knock on wood, God willing, I'll have grandkids, or they'll have grandkids for me one day. So.
Oh, Ty is a grandpa? Or you as a father? That's the scary
What's worse, me as a grandpa or me as a father? I think probably grandpa's not as bad, because I'll at least learn from my mistakes the first time as a dad.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.